like administrative.
I guess I'm adding a bit of youth to the panel.
Also, where are my crisps?
Second in the world's pretty cool.
The kookaburra ball can do one, all right? Hello, and welcome to Under the Lid, the Pro Cricketers podcast. With me, Jack Brooks, and...
me, Catherine Siverbrunt.
A legend. Now, just before we start, I'll just raise a sad condolences to family and friends and everyone at Kent Cricket, to the English cricketing legend and probably England's greatest spin bowler, deadly Derek Underwood, who sadly passed away today after a lengthy illness. No, he'll be a huge loss to his family and friends, and definitely to Kent Cricket and the wider cricketing community down there. So all the best to the family with that. And it's obviously very sad news, but...
really sad news.
Episode 3, Catherine.
Yes. Sad to lose a legend, but from one of the legends to hopefully another one, coming up on our episode today, which is episode 3. We're getting there, aren't we? 23 more to go. We've got a guest who's enjoyed a steep rise in the women's game. She's currently holds the world's best strike rate in ODIs. And she's also got 3 Rachel Hayhoe Flint trophy wins already. So she's not bad.
How many have you got?
0. To be fair, like if I'd played in the team, 1. But I was England duties always.
Yeah, but you're an English legend, aren't you? So that matter. Yeah, of course, it's Charlie Dean. She's our third guest on here on the Under the Lid podcast. Off-spinning all-rounder with Southern Vipers in England. And just as always on our socials, if you want to get in touch with us, please hashtag Under the Lid. And
yes.
or email us on hello@underthelid.co.uk.
Sounds like an advert. Lovely that. And if you didn't know, this podcast is brought to you in partnership with the PCA and the Cricketer, whose outstanding coverage of domestic cricket online has been recognised for 6 years in a row, no less, at the ECB Domestic Journalism Awards. How good.
Yeah, we don't just put this together, we get good partners, don't we?
We do. Get the best on.
Now I've noticed you've got a different background this week, and you are back home, aren't you?
I have. I'm in my own home for once, which is always a shock. So I am experiencing quite a fair bit of delirium. As Instagram showed me up yesterday, Nat quite happily put on a video of me in full delirium in the garden. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Like, I'm so jet-lagged. I've jet-lagged, and there's this thing, right? If ever there's some sunshine, which is rare, as we know in the UK, Nat goes outside and she has a little salute to the sun, i.e. a little bit of a stretch. I know, sun salutations is a thing, guys. I don't partake in it. I'm a little bit of a, you know, old school northerner. So that sort of stuff's past me, but I just jumped on the balcony and I thought I'd take the mic out of her for 30 seconds. And I turned around and she was filming the whole thing. So I apologize for the feral dressing gown.
It's gone viral, isn't it? You're a viral sensation.
Who knows? I mean, it was quite funny, to be fair, that she did get me. I did manage to get a bit of family time in, which is always rare, as any cricketer, professional cricketer knows, or athlete in general. It's one of the sacrifices you make in it. So I'm trying to, you know, make up for that and see my family when I can. I'm one of 6, so I've got a fair few brothers and sisters, and then the nieces and nephews have really racked up. I've lost count. I think I've got a nephew and 2 nephews. Sorry.
And lost count 3. At 1.
3 nieces? God knows. It's too much. So that's been really lovely. Back to normality. And then, yeah, watching the golf. I've really, you know, off topic from the old cricket, I love the Masters, love the Ryder Cup. Wish I could play golf better than I do. But that's been great. So, yeah, bit of normality. It's always nice. How about yourself, Jack? What have you been up to?
reasonably similar, except I don't watch any golf. I usually would stay up and watch the Masters, particularly the last night. But I went to bed at 9 o'clock last night. I was absolutely knackered. I had a really busy few days. The week itself was pretty busy. A lot of coaching. I was parenting on my own because my partner was working abroad, which is part of our deal. So when she's away working, I'm looking after Big Billy. So,
Big Billy.
Yeah, I was just really busy back end of the week with coaching. I had a full day's coaching on Friday and Thursday, and then Saturday I was coaching my new local side, who I've signed on for, Banbury, and the home counties Prem, who I'm head coach of. My first bowl outside as well. So I was a bit stiff, got sore calves. I only bowled two overs and grass, but it's like running on sand at this time of year. Really sappy.
Never good.
No.
It always takes a good few weeks, doesn't it, to dust that off? Terrible.
Well, it used to, and I think it's going to take a bit longer this year because I've not bowled as much this winter as well. So I'm, you know what it's like at our age? It's just like all the rust is falling off you. And you know what? Because the weather's been so nice, I was out in a shorts and t-shirt, sunglasses all day coaching, stood in blaring sunshine. So I ended up with a bit of colour, but I've actually got a bit of sunburn on the back of my neck. And I only knew this when I had a shower, and obviously when you get a bit of hot water on it, it stings. I'm like, oh God, that's a bit schoolboy, isn't it?
Classic English behaviour, isn't it? But to a crisp as soon as the sun appears. Fantastic.
In April.
I know. Well, it happens. I got burnt to a crisp in March pre-season once. Loughborough Uni.
Not up north, really.
It was good, though, to be fair. I needed factor 30. Wish we could have had that now. That is enough of us, isn't it? Let's get to the juicy bit, right. And she made her debut 15 years and 214 days in a List A match, opening the batting for Hampshire against Staffordshire, no less.
She's been around a while. She's only, what, 25?
Yes, I'm sure she could tell us, but that's just baby, isn't it?
Very young.
Absolute baby. She's also very gritty, competitive, impactful, dry-humoured and mischievous cricketer, as well as a lovely human being.
Sounds familiar.
So let's welcome our mate, Charlie Dean.
Hey, what an introduction that was. Thanks, Gavin.
Some brilliant stats on there. I'm learning a lot about you already.
23 or so, by the way.
You're is it? I thought that was a bit harsh. I didn't say young woman.
You're just a very mature young woman, aren't you?
Wow.
You need to just take us through that Hampshire versus Staffordshire debut, this day game, and how many runs did you get in it?
I have absolutely no idea. Not a clue.
Tom's quite happily telling us it was one.
Oh, one. Oh, well. There we go. One not out, I'm sure.
One for the memory bank.
it's gone up since then, hopefully.
Dramatically.
So. Dean, it's lovely to meet you. I don't think we've crossed paths at all before in cricket, other than obviously seeing you play on TV and knowing of you. Are you jet lagged as well as Brunty or not?
I think I got back a few days before you. But I've been, there's been a couple of early mornings, but I think I'm about there now. I'm about on the right sleep schedule.
In case you didn't realize, Catherine was on holiday out there for 3 months, just drinking wine.
Yeah, a few wine tours I've heard.
Not just wine, so I like IPAs, lager.
Karaoke.
But it was full of good experiences and not training hard like yourself. Right, New Zealand. You've obviously been once before, I think. Mm. What was the difference between that trip and this trip?
Well, I guess, first time I went was World Cup, sort of first World Cup, first real, year of playing for England. So I certainly feel a lot more experience now, sort of a couple of years on. Definitely, feel a lot more comfortable in the side and I think I feel like I know my game a bit more. So it was nice to sort of go back with some fond memories, but then sort of, build on that. It was really good. And, New Zealand's such a good place to tour. There's something familiar about it, but it's a beautiful country as well.
With, obviously with being in the limelight, playing for England, it's a bit of a contrast. I think it's more of a contrast for us females as it is for the males. It feels like when you become a pro cricketer, it's very much sort of limelight for the, even for List A cricketers in the men's side. But for us, it's like you're in the dark in List A games, like absolutely no one knows you or sees you play. And then suddenly you're on this England platform and now it's, there's no sort of transition. There is sort of now, I guess, but there certainly wasn't like even just 2 years ago. So how have you dealt with that, like, quick rise into the limelight and how's it going?
Yeah, I guess, well, before I played my first game for England, I wasn't a contracted professional or anything like that. I was just, yeah, pay as you play at Vipers. I had first year of the 100 to sort of, you know, throw you into a bit bigger crowds and you know, a bit more of a spectacle around the game. And then, yeah, I guess first sort of international game. So it was a bit of a whirlwind kind of beginning to, you know, my international career. And but something that I sort of look back on and I'm really like grateful for, I guess, especially now, like I feel like it was quite overwhelming at first, and I probably, you know, struggled a bit, but I can sort of look back on that and yeah, I guess be how like proud I am of how I dealt with, you know, a bit of a catapulting into a bit more of public eye or, yeah, scrutiny, and now sort of, not that everything's easier, you know, it probably gets harder as you go into it and people start to know your game and work you out and you've got to, you know, keep getting better. But it's certainly, I feel used to going out into bigger crowds and you know, being on TV. I think like my first 100 game, I was pretty nervous, just being on TV, you know, we're on the BBC and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, you know, it's a bit more big time than your county cricket Hampshire days getting one, you know, on your debut. So yeah,
I know, it just doesn't quite prepare you, does it? And there is obviously things in place to help, but it's just like one big blast, like here you go, can you do that? Also, can you perform well and think straight while you're doing it? But also, you need to keep coming back, even though you're not sure how to deal with it. It's just like, it's just a bit much, isn't it? But you have to learn on the job and sort of just crack on and keep going, don't you? And I find I find I've seen that so much more in the last 5 years watching you guys come through. It's great because you have to find a way, don't you? Because if you want to do the thing you love, it's I'm kind of making it out to sound like it's an alone journey. It's definitely not. You're not alone, but you kind of are at the same time. So, but yeah, it's great.
Well, someone like Lauren Filer, you know, coming up playing, you know, only a couple of professional games and then he's into the Ashes and a test match. And like, it's pretty exciting, you know, how you can go so quickly, but also like pretty daunting in terms of how much do you have to, you know, behind your game to really rely on in those pressure moments, I guess. So it's all just about building on that now and learning on the job, I guess, as you say.
Yeah, it's mental. You're now the second highest ranked T20 bowler in the world, which is fabulous, fantastic. I don't remember the last time I thought about, you know, like my own self achievements and accolades until somebody said something once and I was like, oh, am I? Oh, I'd quite like to be number one now. and then you start thinking, don't you? I doubt you're that kind of person that has those things in mind. But now that that's dangled there, does it feel like expectations are a bit more on you now? And do you want to reach that little bit further to number one?
Well, I'm not too sure how they work out these rankings, really, because if you look, you know, at the best bowlers in T20, I don't think I'd put myself there, to be honest. Whether that's just me being, you know, critical of myself, but I guess I don't think I'd be in the position or taking the wickets that I would without, you know, the teammates and bowlers that I have around me. You know, people such as yourself, you know, a year ago, you know, Belly opening the bowling, Eccles at the other end, Glennie, like. I guess those bowlers being so economical allows me as an off spinner to take the wickets that I do, which then gets me those stats. But I wouldn't, you know, If I was in another team, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd have the stats that I do. So I think with things like that, it's always good to be realistic, I guess. But I mean, not taking away from, you know, second in the world's pretty cool. But I don't think I'm quite ready for number one. You know, Sophie can.
She's too nice,
can have
isn't
that.
She?
Far too humble.
She's too nice, too humble, and self-deprecating always.
Always.
But yeah, like. The partner, I personally think, I'm not being biased either. I just feel like we've always had, whether it's been yourself or the likes of Laura Marsh, Danny Hazel, we've always had a very good off spinner come along. And then the partnership with a Sarah Glenn or a Sophie Eccleston, left arm or leg spin, has just been, I feel that we've always had the best off spinning partnerships ever. Like, If me and Anya can't do anything and we just bore the crap out of Baz at the beginning, you guys always come in, always control that middle bit and always find a way to make a breakthrough. So I think you're part of that and you should definitely be proud of that. And as it is, you're the fastest woman to 50 ODI wickets. Like, that is something that you've got to recognise and just say, well done, me. less of that self-deprecation and just realize the achievement, because you've had some really great achievements this summer, and everything I said in the welcome is very true, and you're still here and you're getting better by the season, so it's great. Keep going.
what does that stat mean to you, Charlie, when you hear it? Fastest woman ever to 50 ODI wickets.
Yeah, it's a bit unbelievable, I think. I guess I was sort of aware that I had a pretty decent strike rate in 50 over cricket, but I it wasn't on the radar at all, actually. So it was a bit of a shock when I think I was bowling and I got a wicket and it was sort of announced. I was like, what's that, you know, on the ground. it went round, and yeah, I guess after the game it was bit of reflection as to, you know, how whirlwind my sort of couple of years of playing for England has been. And I guess it's being able to, you know, reflect and be, oh, how good's that. But I think I'm always someone who wants to keep getting better, and how can I get another 50, you know, how can I stay in the England team for as long as possible. And yeah, I guess I've just got to keep evolving. And but yeah, I'm definitely proud of where I've come from, because I guess one game for England was so big for me that, you know, getting 50 wickets in ODIs is pretty insane. So I'm definitely proud of that, and something that wasn't on the radar. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Keep enjoying it along the way. So you do have some cricketing pedigree in your family. I was doing some delving into your background. And like most young sportsmen and women, we probably start by playing with siblings or parents, don't we, in the back garden or down your local. And you're probably no different by the sound of things in the terms of your dad does actually have a List A record. And he would have played a lot of minor counties cricket for Staffordshire, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit more about him and the influence he's maybe had on your career? And have you got any sort of friendly competition with him now going forward?
I guess my dad, Steve Dean, played for Staffordshire and minor counties, and he's always got a good story to tell. I think one of my favourites is he got 99 at Lord's and got caught hitting. He hit the ball back and it hit the non-striker's bat and went up, and he got caught on 99 at Lord's in a I'm not sure it was this day, but in a game there. And He always talks about that. So whenever I play at Lords, he's like, I got 99 there once. I'm like, wow. So I guess my goal is to one up him. So
yeah,
definitely
got a bit of time for that. So. But yeah, he's been pretty instrumental in you know, starting me off in my career. And he was always a bit of a gritty, gutsy player. And I think that's something that I kind of taken with me. Yeah, there's a few stories about how he played his cricket. He was a stickler for the rules, but he also always found a way to bend them or something like that. So, but yeah, he was a pretty big, and he's always always following my game now. You'll find him at whatever game we play all around the country. He'll be there, which is really lovely, and it's quite nice to share that with him now. And I guess he's sort of not playing anymore, but sort of plays through me, and always get a bit of a debrief after every game, and it's always good to bring you back down to earth,
100%. I'm sure he's extremely proud of you and what you're doing, and it gives him a lot of enjoyment traveling around the country watching you.
Number one fan, cricket badger. Well, anyway, on batting, whilst we're on the subject of scoring runs, your partnership with Amy Jones just recently, a record-breaking partnership. What's your view on batting now? Obviously, as soon as you get to like sort of seven and below, not necessarily the men's game, but definitely the women's game, you're seen as a bit of a tail ender or something like that. And I've always hated that a lot, because I don't know about you, but personally, I enjoyed batting more than bowling. Not that I ever spent any time trying to be better. But the one thing I couldn't handle was never being taken seriously. You're just not a batter. Do you feel like that's happened to you before, and now that's changing and you're really enjoying your batting?
Yeah, I think sort of as a kid I was always a batter, I sort of throughout the age groups I always opened the batting or always in and around the batting world, but I guess everyone else got a bit bigger and a bit stronger and I couldn't quite keep up in that way. But it's something that I enjoy so much, and I probably up until a couple of years ago spent more time on my batting than I did my bowling. It is kind of been hard, you don't want to be written off in a way, because deep down, you can hold a bat, you can do the job. I guess my battle's always been with strike rate. I've always been a bit gritty and trying to be there for long periods of time, and then into those, seven, eight, nine roles, you're expected to come in and blast it from ball one, and maybe that's not my game, but I'm trying to evolve and put my hand up where I can, and I've definitely enjoyed trying to work out ways to get better without time in middle as such, but I'm hopefully looking forward to this summer, trying to get a bit of time out there in regional cricket and get a few stats behind how good I think I could be. I enjoy my batting, and it's something that, as I go on, I'd love to be a bit more of an all-rounder and contributing with bat and ball, but equally, it's hard to get up the batting order in this England side, and in regional cricket, really. There's a lot of strong talent out there, so I guess it's more a case of keep working hard and hopefully keep working in the gym as well, and I'll get those boundaries and up that strike rate and move around a bit.
Definitely. And I think it'll just cement your place even more. Like, you've seen how important it is, obviously, on a few wickets like that, surfaces like that in New Zealand, it's really important. Myself and you have been in some tricky situations like that before, and I would say they'd want someone like you. When that time came around, you're definitely that kind of player, definitely. So having that as well as the power game just cement your place in that team and make you a better all-round cricketer, because we know where it's going, don't we? Franchise cricket, T20 cricket, absolutely everywhere. It's a bit mental, isn't it? Moving on to the EWPP, obviously a really great thing that came into form in 2017, I believe. Obviously, I know a bit about that, but you've been fully on that committee now for a while. Can you explain it for our listeners what it is and what your role is on that?
Yeah, I guess the England Women's Player Partnership is just a way for the players and the PCA to sort of connect and us to work through and communicate what ours as players, what we feel like needs to be done, or things we can work on. Player voices are so important, So I'm lucky enough to be on a board with Amy Jones, Nat Silverbrunt, and Heather Knight. So I guess I'm adding a bit of youth to the panel, a bit of a different voice, different experience. Trying to get the sort of newer players to be really interested in you know, the ways in which women's cricket's growing and what we need and what will help us grow off the pitch, on the pitch, things like that. And I guess just a communication through from players to PCA, things like that.
Do you enjoy that, like administrative role? Why can't I speak?
Are you okay, Jack?
Do you enjoy that sort of role? Is it something you potentially will look at later in life, or have you not thought about post-career things?
Yeah, I think, you know, I did a degree in sociology, so sort of rights and politics and a bit of gender studies, things like that. So I think I'm also so interested in the growth of the women's game, you know, and so invested. I think anything we can do to try and keep making movements and invest in the game, I'm certainly interested in. I think the PCA are doing a brilliant job at the moment of trying to get our voices heard and things like that. So yeah, I'm certainly interested in, and want to try, I guess, one, engage myself with PCA and everything that they offer, but also try and get the other girls engaged too, because I know sometimes, especially when you're on the younger side, you're not really as bothered, you know, you're just there to play cricket, but actually, you know, the things off the pitch do matter quite a bit, and the more that we can get all the girls, you know, really invested in that, then you know, the more that we can grow and get those opinions heard, and if I can play a small part in that, then yeah, I'm happy.
That's fantastic. So really, let's go under the lid with some of your views on where the women's game is in England and Wales at the minute. Do you have any particular outstanding views on the game in this country, or do you feel like, where do you think the schedule is, the formats? Obviously the 100's done really well for women's cricket. There's a lot going on going forward as well. Do you have anything in particular that comes to mind?
Well, yeah, I guess sort of the double headers with the 100 and things like that have really been great to put women's cricket on a pedestal that it probably hasn't had before. And I guess, you know, with the Darwin project coming up and realigning of regions with men's counties, you know, it's only going to be more exciting and get women's cricket more on the map. You know, if someone asks me, you know, what team I play for, and I say Southern Vipers, like, they might not know, but had I have said Hampshire or Sussex, then, you know, they'd be right on board. So I guess, you know, looking forward to the next couple of years and seeing where that all leads with the bids that have come in. It's just, yeah, it can only be a good thing. Super exciting to realign and really move forward and take it in a place where, you know, women's cricket and domestic cricket comes lots more marketable, which, you know, I think it deserves to be. You know, we've been through a bit of a building phase and you know, the talent in this country has improved significantly even within, you know, 2-3 years of the regional program. So yeah, it's just a super exciting time, I guess, to be in women's cricket and to invest in it. We've seen, you know, the women's WSL and how much that's growing, how much people are engaged with it. And I guess it's exciting to see, you know, how we can move forward with that. And I guess with the Ashes last summer, how much engagement we had as England, and how we can really push that into domestic cricket. It's pretty cool.
The input's great, isn't it, from the ECB and the PCA sort, and this through, and it's going to be great to see who gets this tier one status. I'm really excited to see who gets it, because there's been some fantastic bids, even from outsiders that you wouldn't think would get a bid. But I think the interviews they gave and the statements they've made are pretty big. And in terms of them supporting women's cricket, it's huge. Like some of the things some directors have said have been like so refreshing. Like they're just so keen to push women's cricket and on the same sort of level as the men. So obviously I think there was a bit of a statement made, wasn't there, from the PCA about pre-season and going around all the domestic teams, seeing what was important to them in equity within the game and the things that they were pushing. And it seems that people have been listening to some of the counties now and what they want to do and how they want to go forward with that two teams, one club sort of mentality. It sounds like that's going to happen. And I'm very excited and I wish I was 21, which I'm not. what a great time to be a part of it. And because that we experienced it a little bit through, I don't know if you did, Charlie, but year one of the 100, just merging with your team. Like, with, I don't know if you experienced it, but at the Rockets, we sort of day one came in there with the boys. Obviously, we've got Joe Root on our team. And it was just like, hi, Catherine, nice to meet you, shook my hand. And then it's like, he knows my name, like, and he's talking to me, he's making time for me. We train at the same ground, we're wearing the same kit, we have the same changing room, we get the same nutrition. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it matters. Like, everything just felt on par. No one felt above anybody, and it was great. And that's like a taste of what I believe is to come through this structuring. I don't know if I know the numbers. Maybe you can correct me. Is it like 1.5 million to each of these tier one teams, and then about a quarter of 250,000 to the tier two team? So even tier two status is going to get some sort of remuneration. If that's the word.
So for those listeners who aren't aware, how many tier one teams will there be?
Eight, I think. I think it's same eight. As
yeah, it's going to match what regional, isn't it?
Yeah, currently. Yeah,
but anyone can bid for it.
18 out of 20 first class counties have gone for a bid, which is so encouraging. You know, people want women's cricket, want to have a team get representing. It's great.
Yeah, it matters.
I think they can see how marketable it is now as well. Like, there's money to be made there. There's exposure to have, and I think we've led the way in terms of team sport over football and rugby and. In the past however long, and I think football's pretty much only just surpassed us, and how long can that last? I don't know, we'll see.
Well, there is a pathway professional cricket now. Girls can have a career in cricket, whereas, you know, when you were a young girl, Catherine, could you have envisaged having a career in cricket?
Absolutely not.
I've got a 12-year-old niece who 2 years ago when the 100 started 3 years ago when the 100 started, she was watching it on TV and it just clicked her as a 10-year-old girl that she could be a professional cricketer. And I said, come on then, good luck.
Here's your ball.
I'll help you, I'll try and help you out. But no, that's been one of her main focuses for the last 3 years, really.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's, yeah.
Keep inspiring her, please, Charlie.
What we want as well. It's amazing, yeah.
So we talked about equity there briefly, and it's great that you feel like there was equity in the 100, certainly with the Trent Rockets team, Bronte. Between the two of you, is there still any issues with equity in the game, particularly in the gender side of things? Are we talking pay? Is that one of the main ones, or is there other ones that are just as frustrating?
I guess pay is probably the big topic, isn't it? That there's sort of no one really wants to talk about, but I guess, you know, minimum salaries is crazy different. I know regionally a few girls, you know, struggle in terms of having to relocate where their region is, and in terms of wage, you know, it's no more than 20,000, and that's, you know, it's not particularly livable when you want to be a world-class athlete. You know, fuel, train as hard as you can, maybe you're doing work or college around that, you know, it's it's not easy still. There's still a way to go for sure.
I went to a PCA meeting last year, and obviously a few of the girls were there. You get to learn a little bit more about the women's game and the money and some of the difficulties they come up against. But I didn't realise that some of these teams, they only have 10 professional contracts. There's 11 in a team and only 10 of them are professionally contracted. It's like, huh? Why can't you even at least have 11? At least have 11 pros rather than just one of them isn't, or, you know, a few pay to play. So I couldn't get my head around that initially. But I know a lot of the girls either have, you know, second jobs or had their professional sports women, but they're just not earning the money that kind of they need to back it up a little bit, which, you know, it will improve. There's no doubt it will. But it needs to happen sooner rather than later, doesn't it?
It's hard because we want to be grateful of as to how far we've come. You know, Catherine wouldn't have dreamt of earning money and playing cricket, but I guess when you make progress, you can see how far there is to go. And it's hard to be grateful, but also wanting to push for more. And I think, yeah, that's why PCA and those sort of meetings are so important, because you get to know what players need and actually real life situations. You know, if someone's got a team in London and struggling to pay their rent and go to training and commute and commit, and, you know, why should that stop them? They're being labelled a professional cricketer, yet they're, you know, struggling. Obviously, no one specific there, but certainly the case for a few girls.
No, it's true. And it's, you know, things are happening, but that is our problem. We're always just grateful, and we shouldn't be. We should be noisy. Anyway, let's move on to I've got a build up for this. Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy starts this week. Cricket is starting in the rain and the cold. The men been going, what's this, 2 weeks now? 2 weeks? Loads of cold off games.
Second game. Finished today, didn't they?
Got plenty going though. Yeah. And you guys are going to be defending the title. Is it the Mighty Vipers, isn't it? Do you think you can
winning,
do it?
Vipers now? Surely they're getting bored of winning everything.
No, I think we always want to win. Always. Yeah, I mean, maybe we've got a really strong team this year. So, you know, looking forward to playing as many games as possibly can, and my car's beeping.
Somebody's walking around it. As long as you've got Charlotte Edwards as your head coach, you're going to be winning everything.
Is that our new siren, Brunty?
It must be. Talking of sirens, we've got a cricket archive guest stat alert. Right, it is actually a pretty boring stat, this, Charlie, but it says here, you've dismissed three players three times in ODIs. And I'm going to let you guess.
Can you name them?
Who they are.
Who are your bunnies? Come on.
Laura Wolfart.
Yeah, one. Bingo.
Now I don't know.
I think you've just been playing the other two.
Sophie Devine?
No.
No. Okay. Close.
I thought you would have dismissed somebody else more than this, but anyway, it's Amy Satterthwaite, obviously retired, and Brooke Halliday. Obviously, off spinners love a lefty. Do you love a lefty though?
I love a lefty.
Yeah. I think Smriti Mandana could be one for your pocket, you know. I feel like it's going to happen. It's a pretty big one to have, isn't it?
But I've got to touch wood now. You can't predict things like that.
Just saying, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Right. PCA MVP prediction.
MVP.
MVP for the women's overall county.
Yeah, let's get a prediction, Charlie. Who do you predict will win it this year? And do you think Georgia Adams will keep winning it?
Yeah, I was going to say it would be boring to go with Georgia Adams, but she, she's pretty consistent, isn't she? She scores runs, she takes wickets. She's got good hands, captain points. Can't go wrong.
She's a pest. She's a pest.
It's got to be
Seven and a half
tricky.
grand for the winner. It's quite a decent amount of money as well, isn't
That's a year's salary.
Gag. Nice little gag. Nice. Enjoyed it. Nice little dig. Who's listening? So MVP, have you got any? You were third in England's winter MVP. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Another nice little stat for you, isn't it? What are your
Lovely.
aims for the summer and thoughts on the Pakistan series in May?
Aims for the summer, just to play as much as possible.
You've been brilliant.
How boring. What a boring thing to say. I tell you what, I'd love to contribute with the bat a little more. Whether it's in regional cricket or down the order with England, obviously hoping that we don't get to meet, but I think I'd love to put in little cameos here and there, whether that's in the 100. But yeah, just keep being consistent, trying to take wickets as much as possible. Keep playing attacking cricket. That's such a media answer, isn't it? But that's what I want to do. So yeah, and Pakistan series. It's super exciting. I think, well, I guess we're doing it alongside the men's again, like we did with the Ashes last summer. So looking forward to playing in front of some decent crowds and getting out there. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good summer.
Any predictions, or are you not going to go down that route?
You know, I'm not, I feel like I'm not a predictions girl. I'm just a go as you flow. I
Well, I know
obviously
that
want to win. But
Catherine's prediction that you were going to smash the one-day series and win the T20s easily. And you did, within reason, but you lost a couple of games, didn't you?
yeah,
They just switched
well,
off. They just switched off.
two from eight.
Hmm.
Lost two from eight. We'll take it. Yeah, I think that's where we want to be more clinical, I guess, is that, you know, games towards the end of series. You won a series, like, can you know, win convincingly? But I mean, that's what it takes to be world class. That's what the Aussies do so well, is when they're on top, they stay on top. So yeah, I think we've got to be a bit more clinical if we're being honest. But
Excellent.
yeah.
Excellent answer.
Sounded like you've been trained.
Under the lids, big question.
Exactly. Good tee up, Jack. Nice. As we know, this show is all about getting under the lid with pro cricketers. We get to ask you questions and people get to know you a bit more behind, you know, the life of a pro cricketer, sitting in cars and, you know,
Doing
having
podcasts.
sensors go off and doing podcasts when you're old and
You're
retired.
welcome.
But we want to know one bit about you that nobody else knows, and it can obviously be a bit quirky, maybe a bit of a party trick. I mean, it can't be boring because we have to make you come up with another one, but hopefully you've got about 5 seconds to think while I'm talking. Something that nobody knows about you, Charlie. Give us it.
Well, people who know me well know this, but I guess I was gonna say that I taught myself guitar over lockdown, and I take that on tour with me everywhere I go. But you'd be lucky if you hear me play, because I'm a bit shy about it. But that is something that I enjoy doing in my downtime. Just bought an electric guitar, so I'm gonna see if I can start playing, getting some riffs down, playing a bit of that, annoy my neighbours, annoy my housemates. But that was my fun fact.
Bit of heavy metal. I think we'll allow
Yeah.
that. You can also, if you wouldn't mind helping Nat, because she's started, but she's been on a long pause of about 4 months now. So if you wouldn't mind teaching her,
Well,
she's probably
get her to
also shy.
bring it on tour. We can have a cute little session.
A little jam. You can have a
Yeah.
jam. We'll on the put it on the gram as well.
I feel like
Just
there's
for
a brand
promo.
coming. There's a
No
brand
social
being
media.
built.
They don't need to see that.
We definitely do. Under the Lid will be the first to have it as well.
I'll
If you were to be in
come
a
back
band
on
name
and
then
serenade you.
with Nat Siverbrum, what would the band name be?
An Izzy Wong. Who else is musically
And is he?
inclined? I'm sure someone can sing. Nat
I
can
tell
actually
you what,
sing.
Gibbo, Danny Gibson, when she's not joking, I think she can sing. She's very loud. She's very loud, but like,
yes,
when she takes it seriously,
I've worked with her before.
She can sing, I reckon.
She'd be first on karaoke, probably, wouldn't she?
And yeah, she'd love to be the centre of that band. So, and that's
well,
okay. She
there
can
we
have
go.
It.
Under the Lid exclusive, first live show we do this summer. We've got a band book. Perfect.
That can be at the end. Right,
Catherine, you have to do something though. You both have to play.
Oh no! Well, I can maybe record it for you. Can't
Your
do
manager.
Anything else.
Band
Anyone
manager.
Got drums? Just...
Yeah, I could smash some drums for you.
Yeah,
Nat can actually play the drums as well. You've got in all this, you know, inside.
She can do everything though. She doesn't count.
She doesn't reveal these things because she's very, actually shy. Believe it or not.
Just like you.
Right. Yes, not me. I did used to be Once Upon a Time about 15 years ago, but cricket's really ruined me, so now look at me. right, the
this
last round.
This is your favourite round, Brunty, isn't it? What we got?
This is my favourite round because it's pants. It's my NAF quiz. We do apologise in advance for how pants the questions are, but, you know, we've obviously had two contestants so far. We've had Ben Duckett and Sam Cooke, and they've got 4 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 6 is actually a very good score, Charlie, right? And there's going to be a prize at the end of the season to the winner, and it's going to be good. It's going to be worth having, right? So
I'm a bit nervous.
Let's take...
I should
yeah,
a
let's
guitar.
Take...
Could be a guitar prize.
Oh, it could be. It could be a guitar, like an actual guitar. Let's get sponsors right in. I don't know any good ones. Right, you've got 60 seconds. Every correct answer is a run. The runs are on the board for everyone to see. Yeah, we'll be as quick as we can. We'll try not to ruin your go with answering things very slowly. So are you ready?
As Brunty said last week, our guests get to swing from the ring and answer as many questions.
Swing from the ring, what a terrible line. Right, Charlie Dean. So last round. 3, 2, 1, go.
Question one. Where is Michael's first game?
Beckenham.
First game. Yes. Who is it against?
Stars.
Correct. Number three. You currently have the best ever bowling strike rate in women's ODI cricket. What is it?
Not a clue.
25.
18.
Wrong.
Where did you make your international debut?
Bristol.
Correct.
Correct. 5. Who was your first international wicket?
Jessica.
Correct. What crisp brand is on the front of London Spirit's shirt?
Tyrrells.
Correct.
Correct.
Number 7. By what name is the common European viper also known?
Adam.
Yes.
Who was the non-striker when you faked a man card during the 2022 Hayhoe Flint Trophy final?
Lindsay Smith.
Correct. Correct.
9. How many trophies have the Vipers won since 2020?
4.
Oh, 5. How many wickets did Sophie Eccleston take during the 2023 Ashes?
Oh, 10.
Correct. No.
Yes.
Wrong. Is it?
Wrong, Brunty. Oh. It's 20.
Oh!
So close. So close.
Where did I just read 10?
Hell of a round, though.
Oh, it was question 10.
I feel like you might have got more than Sam Cooke there.
We have a new leader, guys, and it's none other than Charlie Dean.
7.
Get in.
Seven.
Fantastic. I'll take that.
I'm not being funny. I thought 6 couldn't be beat, but, you know, were they a bit easy?
I don't feel like they were. She knows her nature and her snakes.
I think
that
I
was a good
lucky.
One.
And you pay attention to your shirt sponsor.
good crisp.
Well, I love crisps. I would never forget my sponsor. Also, where are my crisps? I wanted a lifetime supply of Skips and it never happened.
You can't reveal that we didn't get the crisps.
Oh, sorry.
It's all kicking off now. No, 100.
Now
I'll take a money, you know, deal instead.
We'll start a campaign. Get Brunty
yeah.
Skips.
Yeah. #Hashtag where are my Skips?
So, Dina, you go straight top of the league.
Yeah.
Get
congratulations.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Top Druid.
Shall we I think we should let Charlie go.
We can let you go to wherever you need to go now. You can get back on the road, turn your lights off, and get back on the road.
Turn the lights off, stop the beeping, and get your cell phone, gal.
Oh, what an unhinged episode.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank you so much for coming on. You've been a belter. A lot of insight, a lot of under-the-lid insight for our listeners. What a belter. She's a cracker, Bronte.
I actually can't believe that she's just done that in the back of a car.
She's done well, hasn't she? Because I feel like our producers were pretty happy with the technical side of it as well.
And our listeners don't know, but we've been trying to get Charlie on for a couple of weeks and we've had every nightmare that could possibly have been. And then when she messaged me a few hours ago saying, I'm stuck in traffic, might have to do this from my car. We make it work, don't we, Jack?
Not a lot to talk about this week in terms of results because there's been a draw in every one of the nine fixtures for the first time in since 2019. I was going to do a count back then. I can't remember any years. It's happened twice before, 2019, and I can't remember the other date off the top of my head. So there's no winners and losers, nobody out on the gas tonight, and there's no one sitting there wishing that something else had happened. But there's a lot of rain around today, which I think probably ruined quite a lot of results. There would have been a hell of a few results. But Surrey and Somerset nearly had an exciting finish. I think Surrey tried to chase 220 off of 20 overs, and they gave it a right nudge. And it fell up as a draw in the end. And Essex Kent, Battle of the Bridge. I think Essex would have won that one, but the rain sort of saved Kent. There was a little moment though in the Kent game because Joe Denley played with his nephew.
Cool.
His nephew, who I believe is about 17, made his debut. Jaden.
How good is that?
And they came out to bat. Jaden came out to bat with Joe in the final innings to try and save the game, and was not out 41 when stumps were called. And he was on a pair as well, so fair play to him. Could run through them all and just throw a few names around, but there was a lot of draws flying around, a lot of very high scores. Warwickshire got 698 for three in how many overs was it?
Obscene.
134, which is actually a hell of a run, run rate, isn't it?
Maybe some sore bodies.
Sore bodies everywhere. I'm glad I'm retired. The Kookaburra ball can do one, all right? I know that you're supposed to upskill and find a way in all this crap, but when the wickets are going to be how they are, flat and rolled into oblivion early season because to try and get some cricket on them, it makes for some pretty dull games.
Do you know what the best thing about this is? You guys have had this Kookaburra 5 minutes and it can do one and everybody hates it, but I've had it my whole career and it was really shit.
There we go. That's a bit more extreme.
I can't tell you.
There's a bit of things, the best bowlers will still get wickets and stuff, and there needs to be a bit of in the wicket, but if some of these wickets are just no pace, no carry, and
no,
the Kookaburra is not built for English conditions.
Wait till the season gets on and we've had a bit of baking sun, and then they'll be really sad.
More than sad, I think. They'll be asking us to come out of retirement, Bronte, I think.
Honestly, the seamers will be no more. They'll be having a rest. The spinners will. In fact, the seamers might actually just turn the arm over a few leggies.
It'll turn a few seamers to spinners, won't it?
It definitely will. I've thought about it a few times. All the guys can document how painful my whole career with the Kookaburra has been now. Fantastic. Not one game with a Duke's ball in my whole career.
Have you ever bowled with a Duke? Did you ever try one in training or anywhere?
In training, and it was fabulous. Round corners, both ways.
Did you? You might not have been playing. I got Peter Siddle and myself were called in by to see if we would offer a bit of insight. And you were there, but I don't think you were playing, were you? Because you were using the Duke. Was it that game using the Duke? It was, wasn't it?
No, I think it was because it was coming up the next.
You were playing a test match at Taunton, weren't you? Or I'm sure it was a test match at Taunton, or you were using the Duke, and Peter Siddle and myself were in Taunton and got asked to come and speak to the England bowlers about the pitch and the ball. But then the women's ball's smaller anyway, so.
I retired from the, obviously, test match stuff earlier.
Yeah, so you were there, the coach, I think, or mentor, or lurking. Just cracking the buds in the corner, weren't you? The ales. Right, moving on. We've got more listener feedback. And you'd never guess what. No. It's all for Catherine Siverbrunt. She now has 4 fan mail letters. And I have 0, which I'm not bitter about at all, because it is basically Catherine's pod that I'm just rattling around trying to assist you through it.
This has to change.
Sandra Church writes, as an Essex supporter, I really enjoyed your podcast featuring Sam Cook. Thank you, Sandra. An excellent performance against Nottinghamshire. Sorry to hear that he's injured. Yeah, you came on the pod and got injured. I think reaching for his black book. And good wishes for his recovery. Looking to a good start to the season for Essex. Catherine, you definitely deserve your status of legend of the game. The passion, commitment you have shown over such a long and outstanding career is phenomenal. Although the last ODI result was disappointing, it was really heartening to see some really great performances by Captain Heather, Maya Bouchier, Amy Jones, Charlie Dean, and as always, NSB, your wife. I'm really looking forward to going along to watch the team play against Pakistan at Chelmsford at the end of next month. Well, that's wonderful, Sandra. And has Catherine paid you to write those nice books?
Leave it out. Well, Sandra Church is an absolute legend. Thank you for your lovely, heartfelt message.
She's not wrong, really, is she? She's not wrong.
I can't handle this. It's too much. It's lovely.
That's the only letter we've had. That's enough.
It is. Guys, we want
but
more.
But we do love reading
especially
the
especially about Jack. Even just writing with it, if you've got a dodgy story about Jack, that would be also ideal.
It's impossible. There isn't
if
any.
If Mrs. Jack is out there listening, write in.
No.
Absolutely not.
Nope. Yeah, we'd love to hear anything. Anyway. Absolutely anything. Questions, pointers, bad news, good news, feedback. Anything. You know where to find us. Hello at underthelid.co.uk or hashtag underthelid.
You love that hello, don't you? It's good though, I like that. You can't forget it then.
Exactly. We're getting used to this now. But that's 3 done.
3 down.
23 to go. Bring on the next one.